Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to another edition of Nature Notes with our naturalist friend Jim Gilbert, brought to us by Cardinal Corner and those folks that make the best patio furniture in the whole world. It's called By the Yard. We'll talk to Jim in seconds. I want to talk a little bit of some fall birding tips from Pam and Lee at Cardinal Corner. They're suggesting keep out the bird baths. You might put out white millet to attract those migrating birds. And please keep the bird feeders clean to prevent diseases. Now, if you're starting your holiday gift shopping already, many people are, you must stop by Cardinal Corner. They have a huge selection of beautiful bird baths, nature gifts, unique art, handbags. They've got jewelry, home and kitchen decor. You really have to see the store for yourself. And the birds, boy, do they love the seed from Cardinal Corner, because it is the freshest. And if you haven't subscribed yet to their monthly newsletter, all kinds of great tips. It's free. Subscribe online at cardinalcorner.com. By the way, Cardinal Corner is open 7 days a week. Stop in. See Lee and Pam in West St. Paul, Butler and South Robert. Amy is at the Newport Center location, 651-455-6556, or online, as we said, cardinalcorner.com. You're going to find out that Cardinal Corner really is more than just a bird seed store. And good morning to you, Jim. Officially 28, which is, they're predicting, is our high for today.
You know, isn't that crazy? The high for today is now. But, you know, I had to go out and look twice. Our thermometer also says 28 here.
Uh-huh.
And we're overcast, and we have this northwest, and I call it a breeze rather than a wind. It's not very strong. But it actually seemed kind of warm. After yesterday's morning, we had +6 here on the northwest side of Lake Waconia, calling, 30 miles west of downtown Minneapolis. Wow. I looked at our feeding station just a couple of minutes ago, and already there were mourning doves, dark-eyed juncos, northern cardinals, and, of course, the black-capped chickadees were there, and I heard them saying, chickadee-dee-dee. You know, Denny, Sandy and I are looking forward to hosting the trip to France.
Oh, that sounds like
August.
That sounds like a great trip.
I know, August 3rd to the 12th. And, you know, for more information, just visit Define Destinations, definedestination.com, or call 651-398-9358. Also today, I will be at the Vacation and Travel Experience at the Minneapolis Convention Center from noon to 2 with Michael Kenny and his travel company, Define Destinations. The show runs today from 10 to 4. Sunrise today, 7:05, set 4:48. So today in the Twin Cities area, we have 9 hours and 43 minutes of daylight. We are losing daylight at the rate of about 2.5 minutes per day and have lost 18 minutes of daylight since last Sunday. And 5 hours and 53 minutes, almost 6 hours, is a total amount of daylight lost since the summer solstice on June 21st. Today, November 11th, we have about the same amount of daylight as last January 29th. The normal high for today, 44, normal low, 29. Records for today, November 11th in the Twin Cities, high 64, set in 2005. Low, -1, set in 1986. The most rain, well, actually, it's melted down precipitation. 1940, 2.52 inches. And on 1940, on this date, November 11th, the Twin Cities received 8.2 inches of snow. Now, this was the infamous Armistice Day blizzard of 1940 that got started November 11th and continued into November 12th. And it was, you know, just one of those terrible storms that came up. I think it was 59 people lost their lives, many along the Mississippi River. They were out duck hunting and they couldn't get off the islands. The Twin Cities end up receiving a little less than 20 inches of snow, but other areas in the upper Midwest received much more. There's all kinds of things happening outside right now. The native bittersweet vines show orange-red fruit. Winterberry fruit is bright red, while rose hips are an attractive red color. Just think, last Tuesday, November 6th, there were still a few late petunias and other flowers in our yards. I picked and ate a Harrelson apple and a honey gold apple off David and Peggy Phillips, that they're our next door neighbors, off their backyard trees. Weeping willow trees were displaying golden yellow leaves. Now, a lot of these leaves just froze on the trees. And I noticed just yesterday, there's a tree with, kind of gray-green leaves called Russian olive. Those leaves are just falling off the trees. So were lilac leaves falling off the shrubs. Last Tuesday, November 6th, we experienced way below normal temperatures, since the 6th. The last 3 days, we were below freezing. We never got above 32. Heated bird baths and crabapple fruit invite flocks of cedar waxwings. Short-tailed weasels are now all white except for the tips of their tails, which remain black. Having turned white, they're waiting for this first snowfall, of course, and we've got that now. But weasels in white are called ermines. Rutabagas and parsnips sweetened by the frost can be dug for delicious eating right now or stored for winter use. Much of the information on climate, weather history, astronomy, phenology that I'm using again this morning is from the Freshwater Society's Minnesota Weather Guide and Environment Calendars. The 2019 editions of both the wall and engagement calendars are available at book, gift, and wild bird stores throughout Minnesota and western Wisconsin, including the Hennepin County Library in Minnetonka, the History Center Museum Store in St. Paul, Kelsey's Wild Bird Store in North Oaks, and the Lake Country Booksellers at White Bear Lake. I think the Weather Guide is great. You know, not just because I have a part of it, but it's one of those gems of Minnesota. Ice begins to form on ponds and lakes the first calm, freezing day or night after a pond or lake reaches 39 degrees throughout. That's the temperature where water is the most dense. Now, the lighter water will stay on the top. So when it reaches 32, ice forms. The ice out date for a lake, or a pond is the first day when at least 90% of this lake or pond is frozen over and stays frozen over. If you'd like to report a freeze up date for a Minnesota lake, record the date when at least 90% of the lake becomes ice covered and stays ice covered. That's the important part, stays ice covered. I don't know what's going to happen to these early ones here, but we'll see. Also include the county, nearest town or city, along with the name of the lake, and email to the Minnesota State Climatology Office. And it's pretty simple email address, climate@UMN for University of Minnesota, climate@UMN.edu. And you could add your information to all this valuable information we got. And Denny, I should tell you, already hundreds of Minnesota lakes are frozen over.
I believe it.
Totally amazing. Now, and again, the warning, warn children, warn everybody, stay off the ice. 4 inches of new solid ice is needed to walk on. I'm going to give you a few examples of lakes around the state that are frozen over. John Crandall, reports that Mile Lake at Baxter froze over November 8th. Scott Blixt from Montgomery said, that's in LeSueur County, Rice Lake froze over there November 9th. Mike Check from Pequot Lakes, that's Crow Wing County, said Sibley Lake there froze over on the 9th. Little Sand Lake in Cass County near Reamer froze over on the 9th, according to Mike Horn. Matt Amundson reports that Lake Hendricks, that's in Lincoln County, way on the South Dakota border in southwestern Minnesota, froze over November 10th. Diana Herring reports from, she was in Faribault yesterday. Cannon Lake was frozen over on November 10th. And right around here, we've got Hilks Lake, Swede Lake, Steiger Lake, Galpin Lake in Excelsior, all froze over yesterday. My brother, David, lives at Lake George, Minnesota, just 7 miles east of Itasca State Park. Lake George froze over yesterday. Totally amazing. And I called last night into southern Minnesota, and I got freeze updates for North Silver Lake, Iowa Lake, East Chain, Rose, Wilmot, Bright, Clear, and other ones, and they all froze over yesterday. Totally amazing, again, that we have this early freeze-up time. So, where do we go from here? Why don't we talk about By the Yard?
I think that's a great idea. I was looking at the snow on our By the Yard yesterday. Jim and I love this furniture, and not just because it's such a green company, still family-run down in Jordan, Minnesota. They make out of recycled plastic milk jugs this furniture we've told you about for years, and it's totally maintenance-free. You set it, forget it. I know, Jim, you and I never have had to paint it or stain it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it just, you leave it outside. That's another neat thing about it. It's, again, it's, in my opinion, the best furniture your money can buy. You just keep adding to it. It's got like a 35-year warranty. It's hard to believe, Jim, that we're talking about gift-giving season already.
I know.
It really is. They've got something new, Adirondack cup holders are new this year. They make a great gift, $49 for that. Accent tables, gliding ottomans are in high demand during gift-giving time. Now, if you don't already own By the Yard, Jim and I urge you, start in telling you December 10th, it starts then, a great time to order, because for every $100 you spend, you're going to receive a free $10 By the Yard gift card you can use after the first of the year. Order before December 31st, if you know what you want, especially. Take advantage of 2018 prices. Remember, December 10, the start of the annual gift card promotion. So if you want to get a free color catalog and see what Jim and I have told you about for years, get on the web, buytheyard.net, buytheyard.net. It's got directions to the showroom right down 169. You're going to love that furniture just as much as Jim and I do. All right, Jim, what else do you have this morning?
Well, you know, that report with all those lakes, and he's got many more from Paul Grusing, and Paul, and this is into Martin County, right on the Iowa border there. But he said he saw a 13-line ground squirrel that was still active and out and about on November 8th, and that's another one of those incredible things. The first monarch butterflies have arrived at their wintering site in Mexico. Elizabeth Howard and Julie Brophy, who work for Journey North, an educational internet program that helps elementary and secondary education students and us adults to learn about animal migrations. These people note that another Journey North observer, Estella Romero, reported from Angangueo, Michoacan, Mexico, that's west of Mexico City in the mountains, that the first monarch butterfly arrived when the clouds finally cleared on Tuesday, November 6th. It was cold, cloudy, and rainy, and that slowed the monarch's arrival. The first monarchs usually arrive October 30th, the 31st, or November 1st. On Wednesday, November 7th, massive numbers of monarch butterflies arrived into the wintering sanctuaries near Angangueo and other sanctuaries in that area. So now we know the monarchs have arrived in their to their winter home. I saw my first migrating tundra swans. As a matter of fact, I heard them, the muffled musical whistle of these tundra swans coming from above the Arctic Circle. I saw a big V formation come over Lake Waconia heading southeast this last Wednesday, November 7th. By Saturday the 10th, Steve Houdick reports that thousands of migrating tundra swans had arrived on the Mississippi River and backwaters south of Brownsville. Thousands of these beautiful swans can be seen from the overlook 3 miles south of Brownsville. By November 8th, that's Thursday, a few hundred swans had arrived near Brownsville, according to Martha Douglas, and now it's thousands. Greg Munson reports that from his cabin in the backwaters of the Mississippi River and the Weaver Bottoms, that's between Weaver and Kellogg, on November 8th, he heard and saw dozens of groups of tundra swans. On November 9th, that's Friday, Sue Nevin heard and saw a large V formation of tundra swans flying over St. Anthony Park and St. Paul and heading east. And also last Friday, Gary Suter, observed three massive V formations of tundra swans passing just below the cloud deck at Central and Lowry in northeast Minneapolis. And of course, they were heading southeast down to the Mississippi River and eventually down to the Weaver Bottoms or to Brownsville, just south of Brownsville. Do we have time for a few more?
Yes, we do. We have about 2-3 minutes.
Okay. Diane and Dave Hearing live near Waterville. Report that was just plus two there yesterday morning. And on Friday, Diana went out walking with her dog and saw nice tracks, the first tracking in the snow. She saw deer tracks, mouse tracks, rabbit, wild turkey, even coyote tracks. Just amazing what you can learn when you look at these tracks. Then she happened to drive by Cicada Bay, that was yesterday, of Lake Cicada, and it was frozen over, just the bay there. But Cannon Lake, which she went to next, on the edge of Faribault, was frozen over as of yesterday morning. Ray and Marlene Simon, who live near the Cannon River on the edge of Northfield, report hearing duet hooting of the great horned owls every night this past week. 16 species of birds are coming to their feeding station, including at least 8 cardinals, lots of juncos, lots of white-throated sparrows. Jim Hubda lives near Rice, Minnesota. That's the north of St. Cloud, up to 9 northern cardinals at his feeding station. He said that's the most we've ever had at one time. Art and Barb Straub from Le Sueur report yesterday, Saturday, November 10th, and 2 days before that, a Baltimore Oriole had been eating frozen grape jelly at a feeding station about 2 blocks from their home. Now, the last report we had of a Baltimore Oriole was September 15th, another September 16th. So that's really, really late. Mary Brislance from Luton reports Bohemian waxwings, pine grosbeaks, American robins are feeding on the mountain ash. That's a native mountain ash trees in that area, in Luton, and in fact, as a matter of fact, right in Grand Marais. She's got 3 inches of snow on the ground there already. Tom Bovers from Faribault, November 7th, and Lisa, too. November 7th, first rough-legged hawk came with the northwest winds. He said, on November 7th, Canada geese and ducks were migrating northwest to southeast, and a good deal of the water fall migrated through that day. He saw first snow goose on November 8th, and strong winds and flurries and the first tundra swans came over there on November 9th. And he also noticed freeze up of Cannon Lake at 10% as of yesterday.
And before we go, Jim, one text came in. Good morning. It says, still have one male bluebird at my mealworm feeder and heated bird bath this morning in South White Bear Lake. That's this morning.
Great. That's right. A good one.
All right. Well, let's talk more next week.
Look forward to it.
Have a
good week.
You too, Jim.
Bye.
Thanks very much. Jim Gilbert back with Nature Notes next Sunday morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.